Please be seated. Again, I'd like to invite Alyssa up for the second scripture reading.
Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will come to say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the fountain of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison."
Just a word about Rick. Rick Oberbauman has served with MCC in many capacities for almost 30 years. For the last 9 years, he has been the executive director of MCC Ontario. During this time, he was one of the driving forces for the new MCC facility at 50 Kent. And if you haven't been there, you must. It's really an amazing space for so many wonderful programs. He has a heart for the First Nations, and he made us all aware of that at the opening ceremony of the 50 Kent, the First Nations on whose land 50 Kent is built. And he has continued to support our work here in Ontario for circles of support and accountability, and for that we are grateful. Now Rick moves on to MCC Canada, where he will become executive director in October. And we will miss him in Ontario, but fortunately he and his wife Louise are not moving to Winnipeg, but he will be flying there often. Rick, we wish you God's strength, Christ's vision for relief, development, and peace, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as you follow the footsteps of Don Peters as MCC Canada, who steps down after 16 years of service. Rick, please come.
Thank you, Ed. That's a very kind introduction. I'm going to start with a prayer. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight here today, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you remind me that I've been with MCC for 30 years, I feel like if you stay anywhere long enough, they'll let you do anything. Or as someone said to me the other day, how does it feel to be the last man standing? It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation to Hamilton Mennonite, where I feel pretty at home. I've been here a lot, though I still have to check my GPS every time. My wife reminds me that I'm not the best navigator. When we travel together, she just quietly points. And our kids, one of whom is coming back to study here again for some more education, and they're good friends with Amanda Geiger. And I was realizing, as both her parents jumped up here to the microphone this morning, that she gets her character kind of honestly, you know. Come to the mic and the lights start to flash. So, very, very good to be with you. I'd like to start with a short video, which I think does a great job for those of you who are less familiar with Mennonite Central Committee and who MCC is. This does a really fine job in 3 minutes of just reminding us where we come from. And you can watch out for one of these. I'll say a bit more about my toy that I brought to church. So, please, Tom.
Relief, development, peace. These are more than just words to MCC. They describe the work we do, and they describe who we are. How? Well, let me start by telling you the story of how MCC came to be. In 1920, people in Soviet Russia were buckling under the weight of revolution, famine, and a typhoid epidemic. So 4 Mennonite men from the area traveled across the world to ask for help. Their pleas convinced Mennonite relief organizations in the US and Canada to come together, forming Mennonite Central Committee. MCC fed close to 25,000 people every day in 140 soup kitchens throughout Soviet Russia. This was our first relief work. We shipped seed and tractors to the area and provided horses and cows for farmers on credit. this was our first development work. All of this was done in the name of Christ. Then, as now, our work was rooted in a deep commitment to peace through nonviolence. Nearly 100 years later, we have relief, development, and peace programs all over the world. From providing clean water in Haiti, to running food security programs in Ethiopia that teach new conservation agriculture techniques, and conferences like this one in Syria that promote religious dialogue and peace building. From education programs in Serbia, to nutrition classes for mothers in Nepal. We do relief work in disaster-stricken areas throughout the world, responding to conflict, drought, earthquakes, and other disasters. We work at home, too. In Canada, we work toward reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples by building relationships. In the U.S., we work with community partners to offer restorative justice alternatives to the criminal justice system. We work with local partner organizations and churches in all we do. Their needs and insights guide our priorities. We believe in sharing God's love and compassion for all by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. Relief, development, and peace in the name of Christ. This is what we do, and it's who we are. We are MCC. Join us.
So now does anyone know why I might have brought this? Did you spot the image of the tractor? There's that iconic photograph, and there are others of that same, well, that same day or period. There are some where this little Fordson, which has an Oliver plow on the back, also has a lantern. I don't think this photo had the lanterns mounted, but they plowed through the night because they came in October and they were planting rye. Anybody with a farm background might know that rye is a fall cereal grain, and so you can still plant it in October and get a crop the next summer. So I'm going to pass this Fordson around. It is my cherished toy, so I ask you to be very, very careful with it. I'm going to start with my brother Ed here, who I know I can trust. Thank you, Ed. Here's a quotation. You guys say thank you a lot. I wonder if you really mean it. That comes from my friend Peter Panashaway, who is a leader in the Innu community in Shesaji, a place where Louise and I and our family served for 3 years in Labrador, an indigenous community. And in their language, they would say nishkamitnan, or if you wanted to say thank you very much, a big thank you would be chi nishkamitnan. But it wasn't the first word I learned there. We'd been there quite a while before we learned that word, whereas most of us, when we're studying another language, we would probably use or learn the word thank you fairly early on. But we didn't hear it that often there. And at the beginning, we sometimes thought, well, are Innu people more rude than us? I grew up in southwestern Ontario, speaking English as a first language. We also noticed when we went to their houses that you wouldn't necessarily be offered anything to eat or anything to drink, even though there was often, almost always, a teapot on the stove. And sometimes other people would be having tea or bread, or fish, caribou meat. And gradually, in fact, we needed to learn that lesson very specifically. One time we knew that a bunch of the men had been up several hundred miles away by Skidoo, middle of winter, and brought home lots of caribou. And our family, with one exception, my daughter, but everyone else loved caribou meat. And all this caribou meat had come into our community, and nobody had offered us any. And we'd been there for a while, and we were, you know, like good MCCers, kind of proud that we had developed these great relationships. And we're surprised that these relationships were not being rewarded by people bringing us caribou meat. So finally, one night, we had a visit from a close friend of ours, Louise's close friend, Jennifer. And apparently there were bears in the community around this time, and so she wanted a ride home in our car. So as I was dropping her off, I sort of did the unthinkable. I said, Jennifer, we know there's lots of caribou meat in the community. How come no one's offering us any? And she said, you want caribou meat? Oh, well, my uncle, where I'm staying here, Toby, he's got lots of caribou meat. Come on in. And so he gets this bag out of the freezer, or out of the fridge, and starts hacking away and gives me this beautiful, it's what, if it was a carcass of a hog, would be the ham. Beautiful, fries up wonderfully, tender. And she said, if you wanted some, why didn't you just ask? And we realized that when people came to our house, they would always go to the stove and make tea if there wasn't some made and help themselves. And we were expected to do the same in their home. In fact, it was the sign that you believed you had a good relationship with them if you went to their stove and made tea, or if you asked for caribou. If you don't ask, you probably don't want any, and we're not going to interfere in your world by assuming. Because in our world, the opposite can happen, right? You've all been given the gift that you didn't really want. So there, if you want something, you ask. And you do say thank you, but you don't fall over yourself saying thank you, because it's kind of built into your relationship. However, my sermon title today is Thank You from the World. So it is sometimes appropriate to say thank you, and a lot of thank yous come to MCC, and some of those are going to come back to you today. So first of all, this one is just from me and MCC. I want to say thank you for sharing Rick Powell with us and all of the many years. I thought it was great that he was strumming this morning and playing Companions on the Journey, which I've learned over the years being at Circles of Support and Accountability Gatherings. And in terms of the text that was read this morning, I was in prison, and then what? You know, you visited me, you cared for me. This is a classic part of our work. So Rick, credit to you and the work of many others, Ed and Jesse, and many others in this community. I know this church has been very supportive. And also for sharing Karen Cornies, who warned me she wouldn't be here this morning. As the chair, maybe most of you know, I presume many of you do, that she's the chair of Mennonite Central Committee Ontario and has done an amazing job of giving leadership. So that's a thank you from MCC. So one of the striking aspects of this Matthew passage, it's sometimes just called the sheep and goats passage, right? We didn't emphasize that this morning. But what strikes me is how personal it is from Jesus. He doesn't just say, there's hungry people, and there's thirsty people, and there's people in jail. It's right in the middle of his gut when he says, I was hungry, and I was sick, and I was thirsty, and I was a stranger. So Jesus is in the world, and he's identifying it not just by being sort of beside marginalized people. It's not that he stands beside them. He says, I'm in them. I am them. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, but not just any flesh. Jesus is the flesh of the poor, and the flesh of the hungry, and the flesh of the thirsty. I don't like to say sick flesh, but he is the flesh of the sick. So I have to say something about Menno Sante. I did a little homework. When did we see you sick and look after you? So, do you have any idea how much you've given to Menno Sante? And I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. Because I did some homework. And your first gift came in 2009. And as far as I know, I had a nice chat with Alyssa Bender 10 days ago, and confirmed that you do this coin offering, I think every Sunday, right? So, anyone want to guess? Do you think it's $5,000 or less? Oh, there's a few brave people saying more. You all know this, right? I'm going to look silly if I get it wrong. More than $10,000? Actually. Just short of $15,000 has come from Hamilton Mennonite over, 2009. So what's that? 8 years, I think. So, round of applause. So seven different Mennonite hospitals in the Western Congo have been revitalizing aging buildings and doing some training of staff and finances and administration. And right now, the next installment of this work is to install a rainwater catchment and new toilets. So you are continuing to respond to the when did we see you sick and look after you with a very practical engagement with Menno Sante. So thank you from the people of Western Congo. Now, when did we see you hungry? I know that there's a long and deep history here of supporting the meat canner. And some of you, I'm not sure if some of you still volunteer. I know there has been a dinner here where you raise money for the meat canner. So I have one of my favorite stories about the meat canner, and this guy is going to appear in it, but we had a visit from a partner in Burundi a few years ago. His name is Cassian, and he was part of a partner agency there that receives the cans of meat and then delivers them to his community. And it was not long after the serious civil war that had happened there, and so we made sure that much of the meat was delivered in a food for work. There'd been a lot of deforestation as part of the conflict. There'd been fires. There had been losses of crops and forests. So one of the projects was a food for work project where instead of being paid with money for replanting trees, you were paid with food, with canned meat. So Cassian came here during meat canning season because he wanted to see what this is all about, that these Mennonites are canning meat that come to us in Burundi. So I took him to an Old Order Mennonite school where I used to teach, just north of Waterloo. And many of the moms and dads of the children that were at that school that day were busy at the meat canner, labeling and canning and packing and so on. How many of you have been there? Yeah, okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So it was a beautiful day. It was a day like this in April, and he could see the dust was flying out on the fields. So he knew, Cassian knew, that this was seeding time. And he knew that a lot of these Old Order Mennonites who were volunteering that day, whose children were at the school I was visiting with him, should have been planting their crops. But they weren't. They were canning meat for people that they didn't know. And so he got a chance, after we had talked a little bit about the meat canner to these students, to come up to the front, and he said, "Why are your parents, who should be planting their crops today, because it's spring, and we know that as soon as the fields are dry, you want to be out there planting your crops to make sure that they get the best opportunity possible, and your parents are not there. They're cutting and stuffing cans and putting labels on those cans for people they don't know. Why are they doing that?" And a young grade 8 boy sitting way back, about where you are, Rachel, puts his hand up because in an Old Order Mennonite school you don't give an answer without standing. So he was recognized. He stood up beside his desk and, in a Pennsylvania Dutch accent that I will not try to imitate, he said, "We heard you were suffering and we wanted to help." And he sat down. When we were driving to the next school, I realized that Cassian was sitting beside me in the passenger seat and he had his head between his knees and he was weeping. He had no idea. I mean, he knew these cans didn't come out of a factory. You can kind of tell that, you know, when you somehow there's something about them that kind of looks like they were touched by human hands. But he had no idea that these were volunteers who were total strangers to him. In fact, you know, those of you who've been there, we don't know. We can't tell you when you can the meat exactly where it's going to go. So then my friend Isa this year was here visiting us. I don't know if any of you met him. He was here for about 6 weeks studying at Grable, after he finished his Master's of Peace and Conflict Studies at Grable, we had him for 6 weeks to travel around and introduce people to the notion of peace clubs, which is his work in Zambia. He's the originator of the Peace Clubs curriculum. So we had this banner standing up at the meat canner up in Elmira. And that afternoon I brought Isa to visit. It was one of the last days that they were canning in Elmira. And I said, "It'd be great if you could show up and just tell a few stories and make that connection between MCC and Canned Meat. So we moved this poster up to the front, and he stood there for a little while, kind of grinning as people were eating their muffins and sandwiches. And finally, people started going back and realized this is Issa, who's somewhat famous for our Justice and Peace poster. And he told this very simple story of being in Zambia in a community that was experiencing hunger, but hunger mostly because of violence in their community. Violence between, in that case, it was between Christians and Muslims, and the violence had prevented the natural cycle of people planting and being sure that they could harvest, so then sometimes they didn't plant. So there was serious hunger in the community. And the word had gotten out that MCC was going to be delivering canned meat. And the Christians, knowing that MCC was Relief, Development, Peace in the Name of Christ, was a Christian organization, the assumption was the meat would be for the Christians. Which it was, but it wasn't only for the Christians. It was for Christians and for Muslims. And Brother Issa was part of the team that got to hand it out. And so as the food was handed out, it wasn't only to relieve hunger, it was beginning to send some other messages about how reconciliation happens in a community that's been deeply divided by violence. So Issa became famous that day in Elmira for that story. So when did we see you hungry? Well, partly when you saw that people in Zambia needed to eat. So thank you from Zambia. I heard a little bit this morning about your welcoming of refugees here, and I know you have a long history of welcoming the stranger. In fact, if I have it right, I think there's a family from Burma that is actually part of your congregation. So that's an unusual outcome of refugee sponsorship. So when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you? Well, thank you from Burma and Syria, we heard about this morning, for your hospitality and kindness. But now I'd like to turn this little story of when was I a stranger to when were we the strangers. I noticed the Pakanjikam story here and wanted to say thank you for your engagement with the people of Pakanjikam and the provision of water there. You also, how far are we here from Six Nations? Half an hour, 45 minutes, okay. So I want to share a story that's been circulating in oral tradition at Six Nations for a long time. So this is one where it's a slight twist on Jesus, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. This is, you were the stranger and somebody welcomed you. So this story is from those very early days, I'm going to say around 1790, when Mennonites from Switzerland, who had come via Pennsylvania, this is my crowd now, and there are many other people who have joined the Anabaptist Mennonite community. I try to say community, not family, because family is a different way of building community. So our crowd had come up, across the Niagara River, and settled along the Grand River, and many of us were farmers, and some of us, one of us, apparently, rented land from a farmer from the Six Nations. I don't know if he was Mohawk or Onondaga or Oneida, one of the Six Nations. And the arrangement was that the rent for the land, rather than cash, was going to be in kind. You know what that expression means? It means that whatever you're growing, a portion of it goes to the owner of the land. So I'm going to say that the Mennonite farmer was growing barley. Wasn't a very good season. In fact, it was a terrible crop. He got a harvest, but he harvested and bagged up basically just enough barley to pay the rent. So he loads the bags on his wagon and he goes the few miles to the people at Six Nations from whom he had rented the land. And when he got there, the owner of the land said, how was the crop? And the Mennonite farmer said, well, actually, it wasn't very good. But I have what I owe you. Here it is on the wagon. And the Six Nations guy said, okay, so thank you for the rent. Now, I presume that you kept some for next year. You're going to need seed. and you have to feed your livestock for the winter, and you should have some to feed your family. So do you have enough for that? And the Mennonite farmer said, well, no, actually, I don't. This is all of it. But we have a deal. And the deal was that I would pay you X number of bushels, and I brought those number of bushels, and I'm here to settle my debt. The Six Nations farmer said, by this time some of it had been unloaded, and the Six Nations guy started putting the bags back on the wagon and said, I'm not going to take your grain. And he said, it isn't my grain, it's what I owe you. And the man from Six Nations said, no, you had a terrible crop. You need to feed your family and have seed for next year and feed your livestock. Take your grain home, plant again next year, and next year will be a better crop, and you can come back and pay me and settle the debt. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We're neighbors, and we'll settle this down the road sometime. So, fast forward that from 1790, 225 years or so, to a residential school in Brantford called the Mohawk Institute. Some of you know it. Anglican-run residential school. It's been closed now for 35 years, maybe. And a project called Save the Evidence. Save the Evidence is essentially, like it sounds, we have a residential school, some good things happened here, some not so good things, and actually some horrific things happened here. So a museum is going to be created there that's going to require a major overhaul of this building. We now have a chance, as the newcomers, the ones who were welcomed here, to try to heal a breach, to try to do some reconciling between those who welcomed us, Indigenous people, and those of us who are the newcomers who have arrived here. So by next summer, if all the permits are in place, MCC hopes to be cooperating with Mennonite Disaster Service to have a youth project there and to do some of the beginning, well, not beginning, continuing of the renovation to move that toward the place where it will be the museum that will help us as Canadians remember the story of residential schools across Canada. So Save the Evidence is not so much a legal, you know, we're going to mount a case here, but rather how will we all remember this story? And how will we be part of the reconciling and the healing of the people that welcomed us here? So this is my invitation to you at Hamilton Mennonite to be involved with this. It's an invitation, and it's one of those, the tea is on the stove and we just have to go help ourselves. I don't think we're going to get a long and written invitation like a wedding invitation that our culture loves to do. We're not going to get half a dozen thank yous. Our thank you will be that we're part of a relationship that takes another step towards healing, a breach that begins to be reconciled. So I don't think you have to watch that happen from the sidelines. I think Hamilton Mennonite, you're pretty close to this community. I think it would be an opportunity for individuals or the congregation or youth to get directly involved in this. So why does the world say thank you to MCC, and why am I passing that thanks back to you? My reason really is because you are there. MCC is not just doing this on your behalf. I'd like to think that MCC connects with warmth, like the hygiene kits that you make from here. They're from you, from people. We work in partnership. But I have to be honest, this past winter traveling in Southern Africa, I got a little bit concerned because I'm realizing that more and more we are not sending as many people. In fact, one partner that we do conservation agriculture with in South Africa was disappointed when instead of getting a grant from MCC, they got a person. We have a program called SEED. 2 years, young adults. It's kind of one step up from SALT, which is 1 year. And SEED is a longer term and deeper level of commitment. And we've placed a SEED volunteer with this conservation agriculture group. And they were a little miffed at first. They said, well, it's great that you sent us a person, but couldn't you have sent us money? Because we've got this and this project that we want to do. And it was a reminder for me that for many, many years, MCC used to say, we are not a granting agency. We're a human service agency. So we place volunteers. And we still do a lot of that. But increasingly, we're a partner implementing organization. So Peace Club Zambia is the partner that MCC helps to fund. And Issa, till a few weeks ago, now he works for MCC, but then he was the executive director of Peace Club Zambia. So we're implementing peace work through local partnerships rather than MCC running peace clubs. And in most ways, that's a good thing. But it does run the risk of us having cooler partnerships rather than warmer partnerships. So my invitation to you today is to help us keep warm relationships and to say, we do need more people. Because even though we send less people than we used to, we have a lot of assignments empty, unfilled. So we need, and I didn't even check our service opportunities, but you know, we need people who are really good at this new word that MCC invented. It's called PMER. Planning, monitoring, evaluating, and reporting. So when organizations, our partner groups like Peace Clubs, if they're going to function, they need to be able to demonstrate their impact. And they can't just tell good stories. So if you were a group of regular MCC donors who expect to see a program monitoring report, often these partners need help filling those out. We need engineers. We need teachers. And we still need your hygiene kits. And we still need cash contributions. So I like to say it this way. For Jesus to say to us, when I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, that only makes sense if we are there. Jesus is there. Are we there? Not all of us, and not all of us all at the same time. But for Jesus to say then, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me, means we need to be there with the least of these. The sick in the Congo, the hungry in Zambia, the people at Six Nations or Pikangikum who welcomed us here, people with sex offending histories. So my invitation to Hamilton Mennonite is to find ways to serve with MCC and touch the least of these, touch Jesus. Let's pray together. Loving God who made all of us, no exceptions, in your image, and invited all of us to serve. At times, we are the least of these. In fact, all of us are always the least of these. All of us also always have opportunities to touch the least of these, to touch Jesus. Thank you for the multiple ways in which Hamilton Mennonite Church continues to recognize that and is all the time touching the least of these and touching you. May they be strengthened and encouraged and inspired to know that they are responding to your call. We are also grateful for MCC, this almost 100-year-old organization that sprang up where Mennonites helped other Mennonites and gradually learned the lesson that the call wasn't really to help only the family of faith, but the call was to help all of those to whom we could respond with relief, development, and peace in the name of Christ. We're grateful for MCC. We're grateful for the church here and beyond. We're grateful for our opportunity to touch Jesus. Thank you. We pray this in the name and the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Good to be with you. Thank you.